United Church of Christ song too. Everybody sings.
Good morning.
Morning.
And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the Bible, the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And we are excited to have another day of grace. And we're going to, if you have your red book, we're going to be singing page 70. And we're going to sing all four verses, Holy, Holy, Holy. Praise reports and prayer requests. The prayer request is Sherry's first cousin. She had a brain aneurysm, or they had to operate on her brain, and she had fallen and bruised it and all. But I don't. She knows all the details. But to make it short, she's doing a lot better. She had came up in the summertime with headaches, really bad headaches, and she even went to hospital down in Cambridge area, and they sent her home, and then she's finally had to have, they had to cut her skull open and all. So keep her in thought and prayer.
Brenda,
she's been here before and her visits. Keep Brenda in thought and prayer. Keep Barb and Walt in thought and prayer. I didn't get a chance to talk with them for this week. I'm pretty sure they would appreciate your calls. I did have a call from Roger. If y'all remember Roger, I haven't returned his call yet. Keep us in thought and prayer with that. I'm looking at for Walt. Walt,
yeah. My daughter's doing real good there. Appreciate the prayer, but okay. She's doing real good.
Keep her in thought and prayer. Keep Julie in thought and prayer. Keep Dan and Tony, I don't know if they sold her house yet, but I'm pretty sure they're on hot pursuit to go to Florida as possible. Hey, keep her governed in thought and prayer. We may not like what we're what they're doing out there, but our Bible tells us to lift all the people and that are above us. So keep that in thought and prayer. I know it's getting tougher out there. Do you put gas in your tank? Do you buy a loaf of bread? You know, do you pay, you know, your utilities? Do you? So it gets pretty rough out there. So keep that in thought and prayer, and do what you can. You know, Thomas Paine, which one of the Patriots, says, "These are the days that tries a man's soul." I mean, it was true in the 1700s. It was true in the 1600s. It was true in Apostle Paul's days. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody we think it all was hunky-dory. Christ has came and the burial and resurrection. He did not. He went in these cities. If you know where Paul went in these cities, we read his books daily, his epistles. He had, not only did he have the lost to deal with, he had the Judaizers to build the religious people. He had the pagan worshipers. And then he had the cultures. And you can imagine going into a city, a port city, and the cultures was just like, you know, crazy. And he had to deal with that. So we, as members of the body of Christ, and understand the word of God rightly divided, dispensationally considered, and understand the distinct ministry of Apostle Paul, there's a culture out there that don't like that. And if you want to make a difference in your society and your world, then guess what you got to do? You got to work on that culture.
I'm inviting the guy. I want to put his name in for prayer too, Jim.
Jim, okay, Jim. And I know many. Well, Jim's here. But anyway, just keep that in thought and prayer, because I try to balance both. And you know, because I know you can live out of the world or in the world. And we're here as long as until the Lord takes us out of here, and we can make a difference in anything we make and do. Keep our conference in thought and prayer in May, the 2022 Ohio Grace Ministries conference. It's at the Salt Fork Lodge this year, a new location. Kind of excited about it. People's calling and making the reservations. A lot of people, I'm worried about the gas prices and stuff like that, but people still doing it. We blocked off 50 rooms down there, guys, and 26 of them's taken already. But the 31st of this month, we were turning the rooms back. Otherwise, we had to pay for it. We had to make up those rooms, so we don't want to do that. We want to be good stewards, don't we? So just encourage that in your ministry. If you're talking to people about the conference theme, it's brethren, be not children in understanding, 1 Corinthians chapter 14:20. So we're not supposed to be children in understanding, but men and adults and all. So we got a good lineup there. It's going to be Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And I hope everybody that is listening can tune in. You go to our website, ohiograceministries.org, or dispensationalbiblechurch.org, and find out more information on that conference. I know Brother Tom's got a big 15-passenger van. He might be able to load you guys up and come down and stay the whole Saturday and back.
We won't put seats in. We're just pushing in. But,
you know, we don't have seats in it, so we'll be rolling around like, you know, a barrel of monkeys. No, just joking. But anyway, you just have fun, and we can work on those logistics. But keep that in thought and prayer. Keep your preacher in thought and prayer as we continue to do what we need to do as far as studying and trying to steer you guys correctly. But you know the Word of God is sure, don't you? You know that this is your final authority. It's not man. It's not me. It's not religion. But the Word of God in the King James Bible is the final authority for the authorized version of the English-speaking people. And, you know, people try to discredit that. It's been a battle from day one, since the fall of man, that this Word of God hath God not said. You know, that puts doubt in people's mind. And I tell people all the time, you can find a Bible version for anything you want to believe out there. If you want whatever religion you want to start, and you got a Bible, what does Bible mean? Book.
It's good news.
Well, that's the gospel. But the Bible means book. That's what it means. so everybody can find a book for whatever they want to believe. So let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. And we think about the prayer requests and praise items and what we have asked of you and what you can do. We understand that it gives us peace. And that's what we're really looking for in this dark world that we live in. And we know that the light of the glorious gospel will shine in the hearts of those that don't believe and change them and be able to take them from death to life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're in lesson 40, if I can get situated here. And just 1 second. And we've been studying some things through the Bible, the fundamentals of dispensationalism, what we're teaching here. And I hope you're really enjoying it, because I'm really enjoying it. And if I'm enjoying it and you're not enjoying it, I hope you're enjoying it. But anyway, Romans is a book of doctrine, right? And for the body of Christ, Paul writes 13 epistles. That this is where we're at right now, in the dispensation of grace, there was a dispensation of law, there's a dispensation of grace, there's a dispensation of promise, law, grace, kingdom. And then final, the fullness of dispensation of time. Romans is a book of doctrine. Corinthians is a book of reproof. Galatians is a book of correction. The cross, and it establishes in that. That's what those books do. Ephesians is a book of doctrine. Philippians is a book of what? Reproof. Colossians is a book of corrections, and that deals with the church and the edification. So we work through those a little bit. Next, we're looking at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians is doctrine. 2 Thessalonians is reproof and correction, because they attack the message and the coming, and it's an example of what's going to happen. In the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you got doctrine, reproof, and correction all in those books. Okay? So 1 Thessalonians, and then when we come to Thessalonians, this is the one that the doctrine about the coming of Christ. And in every chapter in 1 Thessalonians, the rapture is mentioned. Look at chapter 1. Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering and we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which deliver us from the what? Wrath to come. He's going to deliver us from the wrath to come. Now, what wrath would you be thinking about?
7-year tribulation.
Okay. What wrath would John the Baptist talk about?
7-year tribulation.
Okay. The wrath of the 70th week of Daniel. Okay. And that's what he, who's going to warn you to flee from the wrath that comes? John the Baptist had a message out there. So Paul talks about the wrath to come. Who's going to warn you? How are you going to be delivered from this wrath? How are you going to be delivered from that wrath to come right there?
Be raptured out.
Raptured out there, okay? Catching away, okay? Think about chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his what? Coming? For ye are our glory and joy. That's the rapture out there. We are at his coming, talking about the judgment seat of Christ there. So we know something different, don't we? Now, how many of us in the religious realm that we've been in, or as a young child, said that you better watch what you do, because you're going to be at the great white throne of judgment, and Jesus is going to tell you everything, He's gonna show you everything, and you're gonna be judged for everything you do. How many of us have always been taught there's a Bema seat of judgment? Okay, some of you have, okay, but there's a difference.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not going to be taken out of here in a rapture and be judged up here and then turn around and be judged down here. See, and a lot of people says, well, okay, I'm going to be judged up. No, you're not. This is for sinners and non-believers. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what that's for. Everybody's going to have their chance to be in front of the God Almighty, Jesus Christ, okay? You're going to have your chance to do that. This is not going to be good. This is for rewards. Lord Jesus Christ takes us out of here, and the body of Christ is raptured out of here. He meets us in the air. He judges us at the Bema seat of judgment. Then he presents us as a chastened virgin to the Lord Jesus, Lord God Almighty, the Father. And if God the Father places us in positions in the heavenly places. There's a process there. Chapter 3, verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. We are presented to God the Father when? At the coming. That's what I just got through talking about. Okay? He will present you at the rapture when you're judged, and then he's going to present you to God the Father. That's another part of rapture. Chapter 4, starting with verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Biggest denomination on the earth today, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ignorant brethren.
It's like I said, a brother in church.
Well, this is a little different. Concerning them which were asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of who?
The Lord.
That we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise what?
First.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Listen, how are you going to comfort one another with these words? What comfort is there in these words? Let's just say that way.
To meet the Lord in the air?
In the air.
Caught up in the air. To be with the Lord for what? Forever. Listen, there's no comfort if you go through the tribulation. There's no, many of you know what tribulations. This tribulation is nothing what you and I have ever bared in our earthly life. Yeah. This is going to be bad. You can look outside today and like, oh, it's bad. I can think about 25, 30 years ago, it was bad. Okay? You can probably think about 30s, 40s, bad. So everything, many of you was born in the late depression time when depression was got over and your parents were like, we never made it. And you know what's sad? Even my mother, my grandmother had, I think, 10, 11 kids. And you know, there was a time when it was hard on them. And guess what they did with their kids? They put them in, what do you call them when they go work with somebody else? And move in with somebody else because your parents couldn't hardly feed themselves.
Foster homes?
Not foster homes, but they would go work.
Just pan them out to work for
people.
Yeah,
just go. My mother went to Danville, Virginia. It's 13 years old, and she said it was horrifying what those people did. You can imagine a girl 13, 14 years old going to a strange home because your parents. And you know, we was walking through Guernsey County Home and Garden Show Expos, and you should see the foster booths set up, want people for foster people. And everybody wants a little kid, a little baby. But they foster up to 18 years old. And me and Sherry was sitting there and we was like, what a responsibility. And our heart understands that, but you have to have responsibility. Could you imagine taking a 16-year-old kid that you don't know nothing about and fostering? And some of them ain't, you know, some of them ain't had the best upbringings, you know what I mean? But anyway, what I'm getting at is tribulations. Everybody goes through tribulations. Listen, you and I may not escape the wrath of man. Wars happen, don't they?
Christians in Ukraine right now.
Well, not only in Ukraine, everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. In China. Everybody wants to give China a pass. That place is hard. That's a genocide country. But yet everybody likes that money. But what I'm getting at is tribulation. But look, where was we at? Chapter 4, look. For the Lord himself, hold your finger there. The Lord himself shall descend, verse 16, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise, what?
First.
What is Matthew chapter 24? Everybody wants to use Matthew chapter 24 as what?
Rapture.
The rapture. Matthew chapter 24. Chapter 24, verse 27 says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For whosoever, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation." Of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You know what that is. That's in Joel chapter 2, Joel chapter 3, Isaiah chapter 13, but this is not the rapture. Immediately after this place takes come, Jesus Christ is cleansing the heavens. That's what it's saying. And he rolls the heavens up like a scroll and shakes it. All the bad apples fall to this earth. Everything that followed Satan and the prince of power of the air falls to this earth. Then he says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his what?
Angels.
Not Jesus. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's different from what we just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The Lord comes. Okay? And he said, they shall gather. The Lord comes. And that's Isaiah 27, Isaiah 26, Amos chapter 9. God plants a seed down there. See, he sends his angels down there. And that's a sign. That's all Israel ever looked for is God Almighty. But the angels came. And some of them, the angel always appears as what?
Men.
Never women. But every church you see out there got women angels in it. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
But that should be error, guys. You should know that. But think about that for a minute. When he stands up there, when Jesus Christ comes back, the second coming of Jesus Christ, it's not going to be pretty. He's going to have a wool face. He's going to be aged. And he's going to have eyes like fire. And he's going to be holding that pitchfork. And he's going to speak the word of God coming out of him. And it's going to destroy things. It's going to burn this earth with the fiery web. While John the Baptist says, when he talks about the fan is in his hand, okay? And he takes the shaft up. He picks up that wheat and the bad falls down, the good goes in the
fire.
The God, not the good goes in a bin, the bad burns. Okay? And you think about the one left in the field, you know the verses in 23, 24 and all that. How many has ever thought the ones, the people left behind is the one that's going into the king, or going to hell?
It's the ones taken.
You didn't realize that until you started studying the Word of God, right? Right. Divided. Because I was thinking, okay, the ones taken away, one remains in the earth, one taken away, that one's taken away is going to heaven. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's going to judgment. And when you start realizing that, and you're like, whoa, I've been lied to, or you didn't study your Bible right, divided, people get upset with that. When we first started the church 22 years ago in the Massillon area, we sit around after Sunday service, we talk and fellowship and stuff, and people got upset because they believed that was the rapture, and we never seen them again. We sung a song about I'll Fly Away. People left. They didn't believe in the rapture. So whether you want to believe in a Pauline base, the only word you're going to find about the catching away, a pre-trib rapture, is in Paul's epistles. There's a pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. Okay? We've got people today that's erring from the truth, falling from the faith, and starting to believe that the body of Christ is going to go through the tribulation.
Mid-tribbers.
Okay, and then you got people go over here. So whether they're going to go to the post, they're going to go over here. Now they're going in the kingdom, the body of Christ. What they do is totally ignore and eliminate Paul's epistles. But the actual details, the Lord himself shall descend. The actual events and the details of how we are going to get out of here is based in those books. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very peace of sanctify you wholly, and I pray the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. See that?
Mm-hmm.
You keep your body sanctified, holy. It gives us peace. In every chapter, he talks about the rapture there. And there is additional information about that. And this, whether you want to believe this is the first book that Paul wrote, or you want to believe Galatians, that was the first book that Paul wrote, I'm not going to sit and argue with either one. But both of them is very, very important. What is the book of Galatians dealing with the Galatians?
Correction.
And what was they doing?
Going back under the law.
Going back under the law. Very, very important. Like, you know, you started this way and you end up this way. I marvel how soon you were removed from the one that brought you in this gospel, which is not another gospel. See, I got, you know, me and my wife was talking about this earlier, and we're going to go over some things at the end of this where I'm talking about reversionism and stuff like that. And people reverting back and falling back under the law system, and you're like, oh, were they ever even saved? You know, you things goes on in your mind like that, and you talk to them like, hey, I trust Christ died for my sins, buried, rose again. You can't argue with that.
They're confused.
You know, but when they go back under the law system and they're people literally teaching the law, and you go up to that preacher and say, hey, you're teaching stuff that no longer is in existence today as far as what the Word of God should say. And I battle with that. You know, we can battle amongst each other what we believe, but when a preacher stands up there and preaches with authority out of the Word of God that you need to go do this, that's what Paul was going through, fighting those Judaizers, and those Judaizers, according to Peter, Paul, and not Mary, but Peter, James, John, and Paul, they agreed that those people out there was heathen. So Paul had to deal with the heathen religious crowd out there fighting him, saying, hey, it's okay, you put trust Jesus Christ died for your sins, buried, but you got to be circumcised as Moses did. That's put him right back under law. With me? Mm-hmm. Why are you frustrating the law? The law is frustrating, isn't it? So when he writes this, now the Thessalonians, their issue was, hey, the rapture already happened because you're still here. That's what he had to deal with. And he's like, no, no, no. So he's dealing with the Thessalonians that somebody came in and said, hey, the rapture already happened because you're still here. People asleep, they're gone. They're dead like a dog. Not like Paul's like, no, 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 no. Hey, things has to happen in order for this guy to be set up, the 70th week of Daniel, things has to happen in order for that, and that hasn't happened yet. Paul's saying, listen, I wrote these things. I told you these things. So he's telling the Thessalonians, hey, can we read that too? There's people out there that's probably saying the same thing. The rapture's already happened. You missed the boat. You're here. You get a second chance. Second chance lottery. Play the lottery, don't you get write your name and number and all that stuff and put it back in there and draw it again. Got a second chance. That don't work, guys. That don't work. When you read through 1 Thessalonians, you'll find things that are really fascinating. You know, there's a lot of doctrines found there. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 2 says, We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and the sight of our God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your what? Election of God. Hey, guess what they knew about? They knew about the election. And that's one great doctrine in the church through history. If you want to keep fighting and bring up doctrine of elections, what do you usually find out people's going to fight you over? Starts with a P. Predestination. Okay? You can get a battle. You ever heard of Calvinism? Mm-hmm. How about Arminianism?
Lose it.
Okay? Okay? Lose it, keep it. You don't have it, you can't get it. That type of thing. Listen, you should be not either or. You should be neither nor. An Arminianist or a Calvinist. You should be a dispensationalist. Okay? That's what you should be, and that settles all that argument. And when you bring up dispensational truths to these guys, both of them's going to turn on you. Just like putting water in baptism. Everybody will turn on you. It used to be the Quakers didn't baptize. Salvation Army didn't baptize. Now they'll turn on you. You know what I mean? But the thing is, you're neither nor those. And people will fight you over that stuff. These Thessalonian people, knowing beloved, brethren beloved, the people knew about election. Another thing you think about, how it was working in their midst. Verse 3, we just read it. Remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and our Father. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Now, where would they find that at? In the Pauline epistles. What does the book of Romans teach you about? What does Romans through grace... Galatians teach you about? They're not only doctrine, but what kind of doctrine? What is the work of what? Faith. Where do you find your faith? How do you get your faith built up? You go to Romans, the book of Romans. It's a book of faith. Mm-hmm. That's where you find out some things. And then the labor of love. Hey, what do you find about the love here? The church, the Ephesians, the Philippians, Colossians, love. It deals with the church. And then they had the patience of hope right here. Thessalonians, the coming. Don't you think, listen, there's some bad things going out in this world. And they've been bad since the beginning. But the technology we have, with the click of the button, you can find out anything you want, good or bad. I hope you see in a lot of things that you've been, I don't want to say brainwashed, but your eyes and your hearing and your mind watches strange things. And I will say this, media, just bring up the media. The sources that you get your news from, can you really trust them? I mean, honest. I'm not talking about, oh, this program's better than this program. Listen, did you know that 6 corporations in the world has all the news, runs all the news? That's why when we turn on Channel Jim's news, he says, today, the weather is this. We turn on Tom's news. Today, the weather is this. We turn on Barb and Sherry. Every one of you saying the same thing. And you ever thought about, wait a minute. If every preacher preached, and I'll get this later, if we all preach the same thing, would that be a glorious thing? Or would it be a bad thing?
It was the right doctrine to be a glorious.
If every one of us, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But this person over here preaches this, and this preaches that, and this preaches that. And they claim they get their authority out here. But what I'm trying to say is that doctrine of hope, the coming, that's where you find that at. You don't find that doctrine catching away over here for the body of Christ. I want to share something with you. I got on a national radio show the other day, and my issue was what I'm talking about, media. I mean, we've been lied to, we've been blinded, we've been censored, we've been blocked. But yet, the things in this world's going on right now, where's everybody focusing when you turn on the news? Over in one particular country, against one particular nation. And I said, I'm worn with this. I said, we've been this way for 10 years or more. Now all of a sudden, you want us to believe everything they're saying is truth. His answer was, everybody don't get the deep news like certain people. You know, like you might go deeper into the truth, but we out here only gets the top of the up here, so we have to report the same thing. I don't buy that. If the Word of God rightly divided in the King James Bible, and you're preaching the Word of God rightly divided from the King James Bible, you should be preaching the same thing, and you should be looking at the same thing, and you should be believing the same thing. Mm-hmm. You don't come in here with an ESV or a NIV or whatever Bible version. Let me back up. We don't do a Bible check when you walk in the door. So I really don't know what Bible versions you use. That's between you and God. But you need to know what Bible version I use. And then in order to find out what God is saying, my wife was talking earlier about, you know, how do you, you know, the love and all the things that you portray to people, and even if they're using a bad Bible version, I said, I have a hard time with that. Because I'm a preacher, and I want to hold people accountable, same as you hold me accountable. And I know you can do it with love, all right, that type of thing, and you should. And because what they say, honey gets more flies than vinegar.
That would be bees.
Bees, so yeah, but you know what? So what I'm trying to say is, in the gist of in the media things, you got preachers out there, radio preachers, TV preachers. Brother watches them back there. He watches them back. I bet he beats his chair in. You know, let me on. And most of it's pre-recorded, so you can't call in and say, hey. Wait a minute now. And sometimes they entice you, like, whoa, man, they're getting on the right track. They're saying the right things. And that whole program might say, hey, man, they preach the gospel today. You turn it on tomorrow, they want you to sell your house and, you know, that type of thing. I have issues with that because they were not worried about theology. and their programs. Why should you be worried about that? There's people out there that have schools and colleges and stuff teaching strange doctrines. And we've sent our kids to schools like that. You know, they chose to listen to schools like that. And they were not discussing all that. They had doctrinal edification here. So in order to get doctrinal edification, in order to get the right thing in your mind and hearts and soul, you got to be in the book of hope. You got to have the hope. And if the church, the body of Christ, for last, we always say 2,000 years, don't you? What year is this?
2022.
Okay. What year was Christ crucified?
33 or so.
Okay. So take 33 from 2022. What was it like?
2,000 years.
But we always say, we've been saying 2,000 years ever since I was that old.
Knee high to
a grass. You know? So
I'm thinking, okay, what year did Paul get saved?
Yeah.
Is it 2,000 years from that or 2,000? So anyway, I guess that's just a round off. What do you call that, people that rounds off stuff in math and school? No, what? Not flatten the curve. But what do you call that stuff? The new math they're giving out there. You round off to the highest figure. You ever done your taxes yet? You can't put, I earned $5,366.49.
Yeah.
You want it to round it up or down?
Down.
So I guess that's what I'm saying. If they had followed the doctrine of edification designed in Pauline's epistles in Romans 16 for the edification of the believer, what would our church look like today?
Standing room only.
And a dear brother Ray Watson, I loved him dearly, and one day I'm going to see him. I don't know if he's listening or not. I don't know if he can, but I'll give you. You know, why is it taking so long for the catching away? Now, we don't put time, but you ever thought about that? 400 years they was in Egypt. Lord redeemed them. 400 years of silence from Malachi to Paul. I mean, John the Baptist. Lord shows up through Paul. I mean, you know what I mean? So why is it taking that long for the catching away to happen?
There's a lot of seats to fill.
You know, that's
2 days in the eyes of God, almost 2 days.
Well, you can see that type of things. You know, how well 1,000 days, a day is worth 1,000. That's typology stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how long has the earth been here? Well, you got people saying 6,000 years old. Thousand, that type of thing. I believe it's a lot longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
If you count the original creation. But there's theories and stuff out there. I don't want to speculate. But look, there's positions in the heavenly places that needs to be filled when those fallen angels are taken out of there. There's a void up there. But if we preach the gospel clearly from Romans 16, my gospel, all the way through, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to revelation of mystery, which God kept secret since the world began, but now is made known. Think about that. Listen, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. Everybody out there says they're saved. They're not saved. And I know brothers and I know sisters that won't reach over and grab their wife's hand or husband's hand or cousin's hand or mom's hand or whatever, and say, "Mom, what do you trust in to get to heaven?" That seemed like the hardest thing to do. You know that? It's easier to talk to a stranger than your own loved ones. But think about that. If they think whatever they want to believe is going to heaven, are they going to heaven, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Based on this gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So could that be a reason why it's prolonged? I don't know. But if everybody was preaching Paul's gospel, you couldn't see out there from the dust clouds rolling in here. We need to get right. And we do it one soul at a time. We talk about our little church under the law right here, you know, Grace Church, and you know, sometimes it's packed. Sometimes it's just a handful. But You know, I've learned a long time ago, you can set the table, but you can't make people eat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We had a meal out here, what, a couple Sundays ago? There's a whole platter of pork that didn't get touched, but one person ate it. You know, we set the table. Well, I'm just saying. It looked like they didn't. But I'm, you know what? So we set the table, but you can't make people eat. And that's what you want to do. We want to set this table out to be true, and we want to be right, don't we? And then if anybody asks you what you believe, you should be able to tell them. Say, this is what God says. And it doesn't matter what I say, guys. It doesn't matter what you say. God is right. And that's where they have to fight with God. And you cannot go out today and get people to understand that Paul is their apostle, can you? You know? Who's your apostle? I never thought about it. Jesus? You know? Do they have apostles today? Do they have prophets today? You see people all the time say they're prophets, don't you? God spoke, I'm speaking God's word. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. We'll get through this right quick, maybe. 2 Thessalonians. The issue there is the revelation. In chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ooh. That should wake you up. And obey what?
Not the gospel.
Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. You see the revelation there? You see the second advent of Jesus Christ? You see what he's coming back as? Flaming fire. Listen, he flooded the universe once. He flooded the world once. He's not using water no more. He's going to burn it with fire. Okay? Fire can purify stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. It's one of the most complete descriptions of the Antichrist, the destruction of the Antichrist, and the coming of Jesus Christ in all the Bible right here. Now, we beseech you. What does beseech mean?
Beg.
Beg. I'm begging you. Brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the by our gathering together with him, that's taken away, that's the day of redemption, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that in the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay? What's going to happen? There's going to be a falling away first. Can you actually look out there and say, ooh, there's a big falling away from the church?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, what church? Is it the Vatican? Are they falling away from the Catholic Church? Baptist Church? They're falling away from the church, the body of Christ. They're departing from it. Who? Who is he talking about? Who opposed and exalted himself? That who is the man of sin? Okay? And exalted himself. Who is the himself? The son of perdition. Above all that is called God, and that is worshipped, so he is as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself. Who's that himself there? The son of perdition. That he is God. Now, people will argue with you a little bit about this. Like, only God's going to sit on the temple. Only God's going to sit on the temple. What God is sitting on this temple at this time right here?
Son of perdition.
The son of perdition, the man of sin, the Antichrist.
The God of this world.
Okay, the God of this world. Okay? He is going to be God. Okay? He's going to convince people that he's God. Now, during this time right here, I believe there's 144,000 priests, not Jehovah's Witnesses. They're going to be preaching against that right there. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have a gospel, a kingdom gospel telling them. Now, do you have a gospel that tells you about not to trust what's over here or trust over there?
Mm-hmm.
You do. You do have a gospel. The grace of God shows you where. This says, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you of these things. That's why Thessalonians, what it was, people coming in saying the rapture happened. You're late. And Paul says, no. Remember. That's hard to do sometimes, ain't it? Remember. We got technology today. Remind me to do this. Have you ever worried that it don't show up at the time you say it? I keep looking at it. And that keeps me reminded to remind myself that I got supposed to have a reminder. But look, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he is taken out of the way. Now, I used to believe, if you stay in a context, that he was the son of man, son of perdition. But also, what has God got going on in the body of Christ? What does he call the body of Christ?
Church.
What? Not only a church, but one twain new man. See, you're a new man. Okay? And that... And then shall that, who is that there? That's Revelation chapter 13, 1 through 8, if you want to figure out what that is. The wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming in is after the working of Satan, with all the power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be what?
Saved.
What's going to save them? Then he says, and for this cause God shall send a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in what?
Unrighteousness.
But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and believe what?
The truth.
Three people give you a description of the Antichrist in the Bible. You know who they are? Daniel, John in the book of Revelation, and Paul right there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the whole point in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13 is that you're saved from the wrath. That's good news.
Amen.
And he's chosen you. He saved you from... When you get to verse 13, he saved you from the first, 1 through 12. You with me? He saved you from that.
Good.
And the salvation in the chapter is not salvation from hell and sin and wrath. It's salvation from the deception of the Antichrist and the 70 wicked Daniel. That's what they're he's saving you from. Because you've already been saved. So he's telling those Thessalonians, say, hey, let me ask you this. How many of y'all watching TV and listening to those prophecy preachers and stuff like that saying, hey, we're in the last days? Now, in your mind, you're thinking of that. Just come on, but tell the truth. Or come up here and repent. No, just joking. I'm, you know what I mean? It will play with your mind. But you've got to think on those things that's going to happen before that's happened. So that says, hey, I'm not going to be deceived by that. I'm saved from that. So I try to help people in that understanding and say, hey, you know, there's some things that's got to happen before this happens. Oh, but it's lining up. Well, there's some things that's got to happen before it happens. And it ain't happened. We're still here. And we talked about that. In that situation. I want to share this with you right quick. You got a few more minutes? Or you got to go? You know, we talked about reversionism and how people revert back to they were when they're lost, even if they're saved. And I know many of us look at them and say, how in the world is he saved? Well, you got to deal with that, don't you? And the procedure about, and that detail was in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17-24. How do you restore people? How do you restore brothers and sisters that might have, we call them, jump off the wagon or fell off the wagon? How do you just give up? You know what I mean? I mean, it's easy to say. I had a preacher tell me, hey, I love you because Christ, but I don't have to like you. And that stuck with me for a long time. And, you know, it's just like, I don't have to like how you act. I don't have to agree with what you're doing. But I love you because Christ loved me first. But sound doctrine can remove that callus on that soul when a believer becomes positive towards sound doctrine. Not just any doctrine, because you can lose people all the time and they're going to doctrine. You got friends and neighbors and loved ones that you've probably been with for 25 years in a religious system. They're still over there in doctrine, aren't they? They still love that doctrine. You're like, hey, come over here to sound doctrine. And they got and the ones that are lost and the ones that are, their soul is calloused because they rejected, they no longer believe this stuff. And God, through His Spirit, will give them repentance to acknowledging the truth. If they're godly sorrow in there and at heart, they'll turn to this truth once again. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 says this. And we're getting ready to go into the church of, I guess people call them pastoral epistles, that helps you understand what's going in the church. And Timothy was a young preacher, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
For understand, you think he was going through some things? You think people was on his doorstep like, you can't preach yet? You better not preach yet. I'm leaving. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preadventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Listen, they're out there in a snare of the devil. And in a passage, the way to recover from a believer in reversionism is focus on the believer that is trying to recover. And we are instructed that the servant of the Lord be what? Number one, must not strive. You know what that is? Argumental. Quarrelsome. And that's hard not to do, buddy. Because you, in your mind, you know why they left. In your mind, you know what they might have said to you, and you said to them, you're going to quarrel. But what does it say? Must not strive. 2, be gentle unto all man. Kindness. Calmly go after the truth. Hey, brother, you know what you once believed? It's still there. It's still truth. We're still here. You know what I mean? Calmly. It's easy to get heated. And I've learned a long time ago, you'll back me in the corner for so long, but I'm coming out. I'm coming out firing all cylinders with this gospel, with this word of God. And sometimes that can be good, some can be bad. I remember one time we had these Pentecostal family members, and they was we invited them over to the house. And we was new to Right Division. We was going to show them about water baptism, blah, blah, blah. We let that preacher, their preacher, or whoever it was, have the floor. I mean, he just went over everything we already knew. And then when it was time for us to say, okay, now you go, you know, I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning, and I haven't eaten anything, so I'm just going to have to leave. He did not give us 1 hour, 1 minute, and he left. But your sister-in-law was there. And I remember that clear today. She was backed up against the wall. And your other cousin was laying her face. And I'm watching that, and I've seen her face like just melt. Was that a good thing or bad thing?
Terrible.
Horrible. Now, they visit us, that type of thing. We still love them for who they are.
They've been to this church.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is, do I do that? You know, knowing some, but she had never known this gospel to begin with.
Right.
So that type of thing. But anyway, it be gentle, calmly. Don't beat them up with a stick. Hey, I was trained in this ministry in early years. You might only get one chance. Back up and dump all the appalling truth on them, and then, because you might not have another chance. And you're sitting there talking to people, and you can see people go, you know, you're losing them. Apt to teach, established appalling truth. 4, patient, long-suffering, willing to be mistreated. Give doctrine time to work. You know, that's hard for a preacher sometimes. Well, you know many preachers. That's why they're like timid. They're calm and meek, you know, they're like, then you got some preachers standing up here like this and go, I'm giving you the truth, you know, that type of thing. That doctrine, time to work. If you're teaching somebody, they're warring with this doctrine, they're warring amongst themselves, give them time. And meekness, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Remember, you were once there. Humble. Let them abuse you sometime. You know what I mean? Let them go and say, you know, yeah, but you. And you just got to humble yourself and say, you know, we talked about this earlier, you know, the fact that sometimes we're flesh, and the things that we do in the flesh is not pleasing to the Spirit. We say things, we eat things, we do things that we, you know, that type of thing. And you're like, and once you do that, don't your spirit like jerks, spanks you a little bit and say, hey, shouldn't do that. The key to the ministry is who you are. The sound doctrine living out through you, doing the work of the ministry. The spiritual walking in the Spirit from your heart, not your head, and keeping your heart right. That's where its focus is. So when we have people trying to restore people, and you might be working with people that don't even know this doctrine, first of all, you want to find out what they trusted about their salvation. Okay, get that straight, settled forever. If they're saved, praise God, hallelujah. Then you start teaching the right division. Say, hey, have you ever considered this? I watch my wife sometimes. I know I'm picking on her. But sometimes she'll say, listen. We'll be in a conversation, you know, at the table. Listen. I'm like, don't point that finger. I think I'm nailing it. It's loaded. You know? And it's her way of saying, consider this. You know, that's what it is. But I'm just like, you can win people more over, say, consider it. That's why the military quit doing this. They don't point the finger at you. They point the hand. And when them generals do this, and that captain does this, or that staff sergeant, drill sergeant does that, you see them guys all like this. You know, because I always told, if you point one finger, how many's pointing back at you?
Three.
Okay. Anyway, Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. As we think about the people out there, Lord, the souls that needs to be sanctified and the spirit needs to be renewed. Let us be gentle in our way that we're teaching the word of God rightly divided, and that it may be able to give you glory in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you once again for tuning in to the Dispensational Bible Church. If you want to contact us, we'd love to hear from you. Glad you were watching through the Boxcast app or our website or even our YouTube channel. But until next week, may God bless you.